This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Morenike. Welcome once again to Bold Women on the Move and to the project Now That We Are Here. Wow, the health system is a very extensive part of New Zealand that we need to be aware. And of course, we've had so many conversations. We have quite a number of information. But guess what? There is still more. There are some support agencies. How about when you move to a new country and you find yourself battling with a long-term sickness, God forbid, what can you do? What sort of support do you have available for you in New Zealand? Just pay attention as we look at the last episode on the New Zealand healthcare system. Now, we're talking about long-term sickness. You come into a new country, you are on a student visa or you are on a work visa, and you come down with a long-term sickness like that requires long-term medical care, like cancer, like mental health. What sort of support is available in the New Zealand health system?
So I can talk about mental health.
Okay.
Requirements. Cancer will be more specific, and cancer will actually also depend on your visa status. So mental health services also fall under special circumstances, and more specifically, if someone requires compulsory assessment and treatment under the Mental Health Act, then they will be eligible regardless of their citizenship or immigration status. So without going into too much detail, for someone to require compulsory treatment under the Mental Health Act, this is usually for severe mental health conditions or as determined by your mental health provider.
Okay.
So if someone has to be admitted for that, then they will be eligible. Okay. The other part of compulsory public health services would include if someone requires compulsory assessment and treatment for alcoholism and drug addiction, if someone is undergoing criminal procedure for a mentally impaired person, then they will also qualify regardless of their citizenship or immigration status. And lastly, compulsory care and rehabilitation for those with intellectual disability is also covered, regardless of immigration status.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. If you are on a work visa and you have a kid that has a form of intellectual disability,
if they require compulsory care and rehabilitation, yes, they will be covered.
They will be covered.
Yeah.
Does that impact? Well, you may not be able to provide updates on that. If that will impact the immigration status eventually.
That's one of those things that would be case by case. Yeah.
Because the truth and the reality is most people will hide as much as they can hide if they feel it will impact on their immigration status or, you know, determining their immigration status. They will hide it if they can hide it.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I imagine there's only so much that can be hidden.
Because you do all these medical tests every year or twice in a year, every 2 years if you have to renew your visa. Yeah. And, you know, this overhauled, you know, your whole system, you barely can hide things. It's advisable to hide. But what I'm saying is most people will not want to disclose if they feel it will impact on their chances of further that getting support, you know. But it's good to know that if one have a kid that have one form of intellectual disability, and you are on any type of visa, it's good to know that you can get that support, that medical attention
if that you need, if they require
for that level of care.
The last main group of the special category is that all children in New Zealand, regardless of their parents or their own immigration status, will qualify for publicly funded immunizations.
Oh, okay.
So being a visitor or being on a visitor's visa, it's not a reason not to get your kids immunized.
But how about if they are sick? What sort of, does the parent's visa now determine if the kids are sick? What sort of medical care they get in New Zealand?
So if they're sick and they're not needing immunizations, then the child's care would depend on
the parents,
the eligibility of the parents'
medical care.
But like I said, everybody, most people pay for GP visits. Some are subsidized. So that should, like, just go and see your GP if you have any
and
any
most questions. Prescriptions are free, are still free. This, I think, I don't think the national government removed the fee, I mean, free fees prescription.
I think they are free. I think it's still free in some places.
In some places?
Some you have to pay, yeah. It's, I'm trying not to do a plug now, but if you go to Chemist Warehouse, it's still
free. Yeah, no, it's free. It's still free for, I don't know whether it's for my, specifically for my daughter, why it is free for her. But I think generally, I think I paid $5 the other day.
Usually $5.
For my own prescription.
But certain pharmacies, so like Countdown Pharmacy, for free.
Okay, so is that specifically for some type of medication?
Oh, so there are, the publicly funded medications, they are subsidized. So if you take a script to the pharmacy, depending on the pharmacy you go to, you either pay $5 fee to fill your script or it's free. Not every medication is subsidized. So depending on the medication that you need, you might need to pay the full amount.
Okay. And so is there a pre-list of medication?
Usually your pharmacist will know. They will tell you, and they would usually tell you before they charge you.
Won't your GP know, so that they know what to prescribe and ask you, this medication I'm about to prescribe, you will have to pay out of pocket?
There is a list where it can be checked, yes.
So the GP should know.
So this is also why if your GP knows your visa status, then they can... They will let you know that, okay, you have to pay extra for this medication. Yeah.
Okay, but it's the right thing for me to prescribe for you, but you will need to pay more. It's good. It's just good to be aware,
It's good to be aware.
Before you get to the pharmacy and then, you discover. Yeah, you were going to talk about the secondary healthcare system.
So the third main classification, I guess, if you can say that, is the secondary healthcare system. Basically, the primary healthcare. So, to access secondary care in New Zealand, you would mostly need to be referred by your GP.
Okay.
The other way that you can access secondary care would be if you were to present to the emergency department and you're assessed and they think that you need to be admitted to the hospital. So, that's another way. If you, in the case of an emergency, if you need to call an ambulance and they have to transport you from your home to the hospital, so those are like the three main ways that you can access secondary care. But
referral
mostly,
from your GP.
Referral from your GP.
You have an emergency, you go directly, or you have an emergency, you call the ambulance, and then they take you there. Yeah. Okay.
So if you're eligible, if you go back to the
visa
list of people that we talked
the
about
visa type that you have,
then secondary care is free because it's publicly funded. So if you're eligible,
how about emergency care? Whatever type of visa, but it's an emergency, will you be attended to?
So if you go to, so the emergency department is free.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
It's important to note though that, as the name suggests, we should leave emergencies for the emergency department so that everyone can be attended to on time. But if you need to be if you need to call an ambulance for an emergency, then there is a cost.
Okay.
It's also subsidized. So if you have an eligible visa, then it's about $100, I think $98 or so. I think you can have like ongoing membership with the ambulance.
Yeah. I know that they advertise that they you pay a certain amount of money and you have a yearly.
Yeah. So,
and it covers all your family.
If you have that membership, then you will be covered. But if you don't, then there is a cost, and that cost applies regardless of whether you called for an ambulance or if someone else calls for an ambulance for you.
Okay.
If you're on a student visa or if not student visa, if you're on a visitor's visa or if you're not eligible, then we're looking at upwards of $800 or $900 for an ambulance.
For an ambulance, transfer. And that will be chargeable to your, God help you if you have an health insurance, right?
If you have health insurance and it covers ambulance visits, then it should cover, should pay for that. What else?
Yeah, you were clarifying the healthcare system. Okay, so we've talked about the three ways to access the secondary healthcare system. You get a referral from your GP. You have an emergency and you walk into the hospital yourself. Or you get taken in an ambulance for an emergency. Well, what are those secondary healthcare systems? Like in Christchurch, we have... the Fatuora, what specifically is it called? It's called Christchurch.
So Christchurch Hospital is the main tertiary center in Christchurch. But the Christchurch Hospital is a tertiary center. So secondary healthcare is a term that covers like the specialist services.
Okay. Okay.
But there are different levels of hospitals.
Mm.
So there are hospitals that are more like secondary hospital, there are hospitals that are tertiary and would perform certain high-risk surgeries, for example, or will attend to you. Yeah.
Mm.
So in
Christchurch Hospital, for example?
So Ashburton has a hospital. Timaru has a hospital. They're not tertiary hospitals. They're smaller hospitals.
Okay.
Christchurch Hospital is
a tertiary
hospital. Dunedin Hospital is also a big tertiary hospital.
Okay.
So that's just the term. That does not refer to primary care or secondary care.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just a term for the type of hospital and the level of care they provide.
So even the smaller hospitals are still secondary care.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now it's the different levels of hospital that
There's so much to unpack in the New Zealand health system. There's just so much to unpack. Let's talk about support network.
Oh, yeah.
What are those other agencies that work, you know, besides seeing a GP? We know that all the time they are not mainstream medical issues that are ongoing. Who refer us to those other supportive care system in the New Zealand? How do we access them?
So mostly it's still your GP that would refer you to most of the other support services. Some of them you can call up and refer yourself depending on what exactly you're after.
Mm.
So if it's for domestic violence, for example, you can go online and self-refer.
Mm.
But mostly we would still say talk to your GP because they have a vast array of information. Mm. They're specialists in this area.
They're like the connectors.
Exactly. And they would know what services would suit you best.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Mm. Can you give us examples of those, what we are referring to as those support networks that are associated with the healthcare system that you feel people may need? You know, like you're walking into the GP office and you may eventually need those support networks.
So most of them are charity organizations. They're a long list of mental health support services. Like I said before, there are ones for domestic violence. There are ones for Plunkett, for example, is like the well child provider.
Yeah.
It's it will depend specifically on what someone really needs.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. In case you don't know what Plunket is, these are services that provide support for new birth moms, people that have just given birth to the babies, the mom. And they provide varied services and support. Like, I know we had in our community someone that had a set of twins some years back, and there were instances they brought her lunch. That was cool.
Oh, nice.
That was really cool. I'm not sure if they still provide that kind of services today, or what ranges
so
of services.
Mostly Plunket is like they are well child provider.
Okay.
So they would see you. So you work with your midwife when you're pregnant up to about 6 weeks after you've given birth. And then Plunket will see you and your baby for a few months, depending on what your needs are. So
okay.
Yeah, Plunket, they're a well child or Tamariki Ora provider, and they would be the ones to like organize. They would sometimes do home visits. They would see you in their clinics. They will make sure your child is meeting their milestones. They can talk to you about establishing feeding when the baby is 6 months or older. Yeah, they will really just they would support you as you navigate motherhood.
Yeah, it's good to have that support system, because you know, for most of us coming from ethnic backgrounds, child birth is not like a single person process.
It's
like
a village,
community thing.
Yeah.
You know, you have all the grandmas, the aunties, everybody. Yeah. You know, ready to help. So it's good to also have a community of support here, and I think that is what one of the things that Plunket do. Thank you so much, Dr. Olushola. It's been really an exhaustively informative day. And I know we haven't finished. I can still see your list, and I can see that you have more to give to us. You're listening to Bold Women on the Move, kindly brought to you with support from the Ratu Foundation and Ministry of Ethnic Communities. Listen to Bold Women on the Move wherever you're going. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and plains.org.nz. Let's look at this last question, and then you get to provide what other things you feel we have not covered. Let's talk about health insurance. Well, can you just, you know, we've mentioned it, we've referred to it. What's an health insurance? Once you're a citizen or you're a resident, do you still need health insurance only when you're on some certain type of visas?
I would recommend everyone have health insurance, especially if you can afford it.
Okay.
It's not... Definitely, if you are on a student visa or if you're on a work visa that's less than 2 years, then it's a good thing to have. It's like it should be an essential thing, basically, especially if you're here with your family. But being a resident or a citizen doesn't preclude you from having health insurance.
Okay.
Yeah. There are different policies. There are several providers, and what each one covers would depend on the individual providers. So health insurance is something that we should highly consider.
Sometimes
it's easier to get insurance before we get to a certain age or before we develop certain conditions.
Complex.
Yeah, because just because you have health insurance doesn't mean that they're going to cover everything. Some don't cover pre-existing conditions, for example. So if you can get it, I know it's extra cost, but it's one of those things that you hope you have and never need to use.
Okay, we get it. Now, you have the floor. Is there any other information that you feel we've not covered? That you just, you know, want to provide more insight on? Yeah.
I guess I can just do a recap. The New Zealand healthcare system is peculiar, especially if we compare it to what most of us are familiar with. most of us as migrants, I mean,
from ethnic backgrounds, mostly.
Yes. Yeah. So we have the public health system, we have the primary care. The primary care is the one that most people will be involved with mostly, especially with your GPs and dental visits. So part of the dental visit, like you said, they do lots of school visits.
Yeah, they call it community dental van.
Yes,
that they take to the school.
Yeah, so usually your kids may be seen at school to have
up to 18 years, a dental check.
Yes.
Yeah.
But as part of that, of the community services, so we have the midwives, and we talked about maternity care. You have your GP clinic, you have your after hours clinic. What do you do when you have an emergency, for example?
Okay.
And so an emergency will depend on your specific health needs. It will depend on your medical history. But just to give a broad overview, if you have chest pain or chest tightness, then you should be worried. If you have difficulty breathing, if you have a choking episode, if you have bleeding that's severe enough and like you cannot stop, that's something you should be concerned about. If you develop sudden weakness, if you have drooping of your face, if you have difficulty speaking, if you have a fainting episode or loss of consciousness, or anything that just like makes you stop and think that, okay, this is not right. Some of the things I've mentioned are signs of symptoms of a heart attack. Some of them are a symptom of a stroke. So these are things that we should have at the back of our minds. For some of these things, even just calling up your GP clinic and talking to someone, they might be able to advise you on the next steps.
Okay.
But 111 is the emergency
number
in New Zealand. So 111, 111. This number covers police, fire and ambulance. So when you do call, it's important to specify and say you're calling for an ambulance. And so you talk to someone, they would ask about what's happening with you and they can send out an ambulance.
Okay.
And that's where the cost for ambulance comes in. But I would say,
don't think about the cost.
No, yeah, like we
think
say,
think about saving the life for us.
Where there's life, there's hope. You can always arrange for like a payment plan or something to after you're well.
It's not that tricky.
If you think you're having an emergency, talk to them. Even if you're not 100% sure, talk to them because they're experienced people at the end of the line and they can talk to you and make a plan for you. So that's one thing to remember. Most of us do not have efficient ambulance services where we're coming from. We have that here. We're lucky to have that here. And so we should make use of it.
I'm told that the average time for an ambulance that has been called out to arrive is 8 minutes. Someone said it's eight minutes.
It is time dependent. Yeah. And they work very hard to get out to you as soon as possible.
And don't be afraid about the cost. I'll tell you quickly my story. My daughter, I felt she needed an emergency care, but I wasn't sure. We're on work visa. I mean, my husband was on work visa, I was on student visa, but these are just 1 year student visa and 1 year work visa. So it was a pretty financially dire situation. And I was, should I call? Should I not call? Should I call? You think about the cost. That's the reality. But I just made that decision and, you know, I called and of course they came, you know, and they didn't even ask me, okay, are you going to pay? No. That was not that. The focus was on getting my daughter to the hospital, getting her the care she needed. They sorted all that out. And then afterwards, they now had that discussion about the payment plan. Okay, this is the cost implication.
Yeah.
What sort of visa do you have? This is my visa. Okay, this is the cost implication. And what happened was that we set up a payment plan.
Yeah.
I think it was just maybe $20 or $50.
What
ridiculously low amount of money that you could afford, you know, to set up and pay. So it's not really a bad thing. You know, if you need those services, please
do call. If you call and they don't need to come out to you, then they will talk to you and direct you to the appropriate person. There is also Healthline.
What is that Healthline?
So Healthline is It's an online service.
Okay.
There are registered healthcare professionals at the end of the line. You can talk to them if you have concerns about your child, for example, or even about yourself, and someone will talk to you, do a form of triage, and tell you what to do.
What is the direct number to an health line in New Zealand?
So it's 0800-611-116.
Okay, we'll take that again. That's 0800-611-116. So remember, 0800-611-116. So if you call that line, you get connected to a professional healthcare practitioner, and then they can answer your question, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So it's like a real-time meeting with a GP. And then if they need to refer you, right,
to an emergency, they will direct you.
They will direct you.
Usually most of their phone services will tell you if you're having this, then call 111 now.
Okay.
If not, stay on the line. But if you do get through to someone and they think that this is an emergency that involves an ambulance, then they will let you know to call an ambulance.
And it's also good for you to know that if something is an emergency, if you really know it's emergency, by emergency it's life threatening, someone has fainted, you gave different ranges of emergency. There is no need to ring your GP. GPs don't attend to emergencies.
You should call 111.
Yeah, for emergencies, you should be calling 111 and getting the person and the care, the kind of health support that they need.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Shola, do you think we've covered? Do you think we've provided?
I think we've done a pretty good job.
Okay. That's really good.
And overview.
So, you have quite a number of information. Like I tell you on the podcast, that's why I love podcasts. You know, podcast is something you can slow down, you can increase the volume of listening, the speed at which you listen, you can reduce the speed at which you listen, you can pause, you can replay, okay, you can fast forward, you can listen over and over again, you can listen while you are driving, you can listen while you are cooking, you can listen while you are running or jogging.
It's always available, isn't
it? It's always available. So, and you can listen over and over again. So it's a great tool for us to have that. We have all this information about the New Zealand health system. I know that for some of us, we've helped you to kind of update your already existing knowledge. Or for some of us, we've provided you with reminders about things that you might have forgotten. So we're glad we are in your space, and we're glad we're able to do this. Thank you so much, Dr. Oloyeye. And let me just tell her now that she needs to come back and tell us her story. I know that this is a project called Now That We Are Here, but that story of migrating to New Zealand, Dr. Shola, please.
We need a full session for that.
To come back and tell us that story. Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episodes come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.